Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, we were taught that the plan for prayer isn't to fulfill our lust, but to accomplish God's will in and through us on earth. Let's pick up at that spot today. False accusers will be there always. I found one of the best illustrations that I have ever used for half-truths and false accusers. A half-truth is this. I say, I went to a restaurant, and this can be the actual truth. I went to a restaurant, and I saw Mr. Smith and Mrs. Jones in a dimly lit, high-class restaurant, sitting across the table from each other with very friendly smiles as they looked across the table at each other. And that could be very true. And everybody said, oh, man. But you see, I said that to bring you to a wrong conclusion. Yes, Mr. Smith and Mrs. Jones was doing that, but what I didn't tell you, Mr. Jones and Mrs. Smith was also at the table. Okay, so that brings a whole different light on it, doesn't it? But see, I could cause you to think the wrong thing by saying that earlier thing. But I think of those kind of people, false accusers, gossips, sowers of discord. Look, I've had people that have worked in our Christian school, and they get a B in their bonnet, and so they are upset with me. They're upset with the school. They're upset with the principal or somebody else. But when they leave, they're not only vocal. They try to talk others into leaving. Now, sometimes others will go with them. Then they find out that those ones that talked them into leaving is not paying their bills and doing other things that they need, okay? But, again, the Bible even talked about that. Jesus warned us of it. He warned us that there would be tares among the wheat. By that, he meant there'd always be hypocrites in a local church. You got one that's given to gossip. You've got one who's a hypocrite because they're claiming to be a child of God who loves the Lord and trying to walk with God, and then they're running things down. That's a hypocrite. And I'm not talking about they're speaking against false doctrine. They're speaking against those kind of things like that. Usually they're speaking against the good standards that you have. They're speaking against people and not the standards. And you know, they're not standing up for the standards. They're not standing up for sound doctrine. So they're tares among the wheat in a local church. And we live in a day when the local church is threatened. And the people who remain must stand. And those are the people whose love for God must be real, evidenced by their love for their enemies and the love of their brethren. So again, I say, stay true. Stay true. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not on man. Now keep it in mind that the plan for prayer isn't to get the will of our old nature or our lust fulfilled. It is to get God's will accomplished in and through us on earth. You realize that the Lord did not wash our old nature. He gave us a new nature. If you're saved, you got two natures in you right now. You got an old nature and a new nature. God didn't redeem your old nature. He gave you a new nature, and he gave a regeneration to your dead spirit that is separated from God. Remember the two greatest commandments and the new commandment. Love the Lord your God with all thy heart, soul, body, and mind. You know, remember that? Your strength. And then not only love God that way, but love your neighbors yourself. And then the new commandment. Jesus said, this new thing added to that is love one another as I have loved you. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now about faith, hope, and charity, using the Greek word agape for charity, which is the highest form of love that can only come from God, and it can only be in us as we allow God to love through us that way. But now about faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You see, after the power and the plan, we finally see the protection. And that's in verse 24 here, the last verse of this chapter 3 of 1 John. And he says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now Christ is first with us, and he will drive our desires when he is first with us. So if he's first with you, then that means you consult him and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he directs your path. So he will drive your desires. Revelation 3:20 is actually written to Christians, although many of us, me included, have preached it in a salvation sermon. But Jesus in that verse is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, it's not really totally wrong to say the Lord's wanting to come into your life, but really this is looking at Christians that have shut the door on the Lord, and he's wanting to commune with us. What's more important than him communing with us? Not even your marriage. So a constant keeping of his commandments is a constant communion with him. Too many saved have no communion. They're on Facebook more than they are in God's book. Now, this passage has addressed the heart and love. If you love someone with your all, they occupy the central part of your heart. But the Lord is supposed to be before all. Now, have you ever heard people make the comment, God first, your family second, your job third? And it sounds good. It does. It sounds good. Trouble is, most often that's not true. For example, family says, well, we're going to take a picnic, we're going to go to the beach, we're going to go hunting, we're going to do this on Sunday because it's family time. Oh, we'll read some scripture, just like people put some verses on Facebook, but then they'll do all kinds of gossip and other kind of stuff on Facebook. But they'll say, oh, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You ever think if we're to love our enemies? Have you ever thought about that? Matthew 5:44, loving your enemies, doing good to them that despitefully use you and so forth, praying for them, all these other things. That's a command of Christ. And then some Christians, now this has never happened to me. Nobody's ever unfriended me on Facebook. And there's a reason for that. I'm not on Facebook. So nobody's unfriended me on Facebook. So I say that, and I derive some humor from it. A lot of people don't, but I do. But so no one's unfriended me on Facebook. But you know what? If I was on Facebook, I'd be spitting in the face of Jesus to unfriend another Christian. And yet, many of the people that do that think that they're being a Christian, good Christian, by doing so. Isn't that ridiculous? The greatest commandment is to love with all our heart. I mean, that's the most important to God. Perhaps the greatest inner transgression and sin then in God's sight is for a Christian to love anything or anyone else more than they do God. So if I'll put God second on Sunday and put my family ahead of him, and if I said, well, hey, why don't you just go on Monday? Take your family. Well, we've got a job. No, we've got to be at work. My kids got to be in school. So really, job is first, family is second, and God is last. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Well, it's hard to understand your words when your deed and truth is saying something else besides what your words and your tongue are saying. So again, you need to get your life back in the things of God, where he is all in all, where he is first, He is one. He is only. We live in a world that rejects our Lord and Savior. They don't want him in their life. I remember when I was pastoring in another place, where people were upset about a sign that I had out in front of the church. And one of the signs that I'd say, and I'd put up some things, it'd be a little bit controversial, but it'd be spiritual truth. One of them was, as Virgin Mary did, confess your sins unto God. Well, I actually had a Catholic priest that gave me a call. He says, we want you to take that sign down. I said, why? He says, because it's offensive to us. I said, but it's true. He said, it is not. I said, would you believe it if I could show it to you from the Word of God? And he hesitatingly said, yes. So I said, you got a Bible there? He said, what kind of Bible you use? I said, King James Bible. He says, I do have one, but let me find it. It took him 10 minutes to find his King James Bible. Now, I don't know if it took 10 minutes to find it or if he was talking to some others to get some instruction. He came back and he said, okay, what is it? I took him Leviticus chapter 12 and I showed him the sin offering that a new mother made. And I said, in dedicating that baby, she had to offer a sin offering. Can you see that to show that she was a sinner and that she was seeking forgiveness before God as she starts out to dedicate this baby to God and to raise him in the fear and admonition? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, okay, let's go over to Luke chapter 2. Mary offered the same offering, a sin offering. So she's confessing the sin to God. He said, well, no, she was just obeying the command to do this offering. I said, so she's obeying, but by it being a sin offering, she's lying? Would that be her first sin? Finally, just said, well, we don't want up there, just take it down. I said, it's coming down next Tuesday. Now, it was actually going to come down that day. He called me about 10 minutes before I was getting ready to take it down. I said, it's coming down next Tuesday. It'll be up. And you say, well, preacher, wasn't that mean of you? No, no, I could not let sin and that which represents evil and wrong to dictate how we run our church, according to the Word of God. Okay, so I'm just saying that. I'm saying all that, just say this, that you put Christ first and you proclaim it. You proclaim Christ. You proclaim Him. You proclaim His Word. You're going to gain enemies. And so, be careful. Love him with all your heart and all your soul. But it may cost you something. God is first. When God is first in your life, he has priority.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
His truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.